Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 29th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
The number of coronavirus deaths tops 500,000 with cases surging past 10 million.
Facebook shares drop as another major company pulls advertising.
And investors look ahead to the jobs report on this holiday shortened trading week.
New York's hospitalization rate is at all-time lows. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling for a report to Congress about whether the president knew Russia put a bounty on U.S. troops' heads. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Cam Newton has signed with the Patriots, and a member of the Nets is not coming back when the NBA resumes its season.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are mixed this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 137, NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%, CAC in Paris up about 0.4%, and the FTSE 100 up about the same. The Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.64%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 12 cents at $38.37 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% or $2 at $17.82.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1273 against the dollar. The yen 107.21. John.
And we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but first let's get the very latest on the coronavirus. Deaths have surpassed 500,000 worldwide, and confirmed cases have exceeded 10 million. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar spoke about the virus on CNN.
The window is closing. We have to act, and people as individuals have to act responsibly. We need to social distance. We need to wear our face coverings if we're in settings where we can't social distance, particularly in these hot zones.
Texas is fast becoming the new center of the pandemic in the U.S. The state's positive virus test rate jumped to a record of more than 14% over the weekend. Here's Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
We must all come together and all work together to make sure we do all we can to continue to protect the lives of our fellow Texans. And it will take these, worn by everybody, in the coming days to make sure that we will protect those lives and we will slow the spread of COVID-19.
Abbott spoke at a press conference with Vice President Mike Pence, who encouraged people to wear masks 2 days after declining to give that specific guidance. The U.S. has reported more than 40,000 new infections for 3 straight days.
The rising coronavirus cases helped lead to a drop in stocks in Asia. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
The MSCI Asia Pacific Index recorded its biggest one-day drop in 2 weeks. Japan's Nikkei 225 closing lower in Tokyo by 2.3%. Heavyweight stocks trading without rights to their dividend, including Honda and Canon, contributed to the hefty decline in Tokyo. Markets fell too in Sydney, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, but a more modest drop in mainland China, where markets reopened after a two-day holiday and after the PBOC said it will implement new monetary tools to make sure liquidity reaches the real economy. And South Korean shares slumped by almost 2% after the country's finance minister ruled out another budget for this year. In Singapore, Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. A different picture in Europe. Let's go live to London and get the very latest with Bloomberg's Carolyn Hepker.
Good morning, John and Karen. European equities have swung between gains and losses this morning. The Euro Stoxx 600 fell as much as 0.6%. Now we see just a very small gain of 0.1%. The ZETRA DAX, though, positively in a strong territory, up by 0.6%. But it really is a push-pull as investors weigh growing coronavirus cases around the world with hopes of an economic rebound. A recovery, of course, could play to Europe's strengths, with the Stoxx 600 poised for one of its best quarters in 10 years. Meanwhile, in the bond markets, a shrug greets UK and German announcements about even bigger debt sales. Yields edge up across most European bond markets. Live in London, Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Caroline, thank you. Another company is pulling ads from Facebook, this time Starbucks. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Christner.
The coffee chain joins firms pushing Facebook and its peers to make changes, like suppressing posts glorifying violence or those dividing and disinforming and promoting racism and discrimination. The list includes Hershey, Levi Strauss, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and Diageo. Last Friday, Unilever said it would halt spending this year. Facebook shares lost more than 8%. To little surprise, the company's sales outlook is being questioned. Facebook had $17.7 billion in revenue last quarter alone. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. And shares of Facebook are down another 2.5% in early trading.
The economic highlight of this holiday shortened trading week is the June jobs report. But as Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports, it may create more confusion than clarity.
We have forecasts, but not a lot of certainty about where the labor market is. Economists anticipated big job losses in May. Instead, the economy gained 2.5 million jobs back. So for June, the bet is on that trend continuing, but probably not a lot of money behind it. The unemployment rate is even more of a wild card. Misclassification of furloughed workers has artificially lowered the jobless rate to 13.3%, when it's really closer to 17%. If that's fixed, we could see jobs and unemployment rise at the same time. One reminder, because of the July 4th holiday, the jobs report is out on Thursday this week. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Shares of Boeing are up 3.5% this morning. A critical set of test flights for the Boeing 737 MAX will begin as soon as today. U.S. aviation regulators gave the go-ahead after reviewing the safety assessment of multiple fixes for the plane. The 737 MAX has been grounded for more than 15 months after two fatal crashes.
And the U.S. and China moving beyond threats on trade. Now the countries are exchanging regulatory punches, and those threaten a wide range of industries, including technology, energy, and air travel. The result, American companies are that long-term bets on China's future are riskier.
China's imports of American goods has reached about 19% of the total target for 2020 set in the Phase 1 trade pact with the U.S. China has promised to purchase an additional $200 billion of U.S. goods and services in 2020 and 2021. Among various categories, China purchased 22% of manufactured products, 21% of agricultural goods, and just 3.1% of energy products. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time for news from around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
Good morning, John. The worldwide death toll in the COVID-19 pandemic has surpassed 500,000 people. At least 10 million are infected now. But in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo tells NBC's Meet the Press they're seeing the lowest number of hospitalizations yet.
We have less than 800 people in hospitals.
But health officials in New Jersey say the number of deaths in that state has climbed to nearly 15,000 with more than 171,000 positive tests. Governor Phil Murphy made that announcement on Twitter, but new cases have fallen significantly in New Jersey and do remain relatively flat. Now, New Jersey continues to move forward with Phase 2 reopening today, with Motor Vehicle Commission offices reopening and shoppers able to enter malls. More steps to reopen are coming on Thursday. In New York City, starting today, drivers will only need to move their vehicles once a week when alternate side parking is in effect. Not everybody likes this idea.
The city's going to be dirty. The city's going to be a lot dirtier.
Houses of worship are open again for services, too. Protesters living in a tent encampment meant to occupy City Hall are starting their seventh consecutive day in New York City. They're demanding $1 billion be cut from the NYPD's $6 billion budget by July 1st. Hawk Newsom is chair of the New York chapter of Black Lives Matter and tells Fox News Sunday this is a way to decrease crime.
If you want to decrease crime, you don't hire police to come in and arrest everybody and brutalize people. If you want to cure crime, then you must go to the source. You must invest in people. You must give people jobs. You must make people employable.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill will take up police reform efforts later this week. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi wants a report to Congress after news reports cited U.S. intelligence that Russia offered the Taliban bounty on the heads of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. President Trump says he was never briefed on that, and he says he's been told those reports are not credible. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. John.
Amy, thanks. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And good Monday morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. Tom Brady, of course, left the Patriots more than 3 months ago. It appeared the Pats were going to try and replace the legend with either the veteran Brian Hoyer or the youngster Jarrett Stidham. But now a new quarterback has joined New England. Cam Newton won a Heisman Trophy and a national championship while at Auburn. Was the first pick of the 2011 draft. In 2015, he was the MVP of the NFL. His stock has plummeted. Injuries to his foot and shoulder limited him to just two games last season, and Carolina released Newton after 9 seasons. The Patriots, with training camp starting in a month, now feel it's worth at least seeing what Newton has left. Just a one-year contract, plenty of incentives. The odds on the Pats winning the Super Bowl have dropped from 25-1 down to 20-1. Meanwhile, the Patriots penalized for that incident last season where a TV crew was filming the sideline of a game between the Browns and Bengals. The team fined $1.1 million. That's more than it got fined for the Spygate scandal of 2007, although that cost the Pats a first-round draft pick. This time, they're losing a third-rounder. Wilson Chandler has decided to take a pass on playing for the Nets when the NBA season resumes. He cites not wanting to leave his family. Averaged 6.4 rebounds in 35 games for Brooklyn. Dustin Johnson won the Travelers Golf in Connecticut by one shot. His 21st career PGA victory, but his first in the U.S. in 2 years. He pockets $1.3 million. Denny Hamlin's fourth NASCAR win of the year. Sixth time he's won at Pocono. Since May, the Korean Baseball League games, some seen on ESPN, have had cardboard cutouts in place of fans, but starting Friday, some real fans will be allowed in. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. Well, the U.S. Open is returning to NBC starting this year. The Associated Press is reporting the changing of the channels comes after Fox Sports asked to end its 12-year contract with the USGA. The U.S. Open, originally scheduled to be played last week, was postponed to September 17th at Wingfoot in New York when the COVID-19 pandemic shut down golf for 3 months. NBC televised the U.S. Open from 1995 through 2014. That ended when the USGA signed a 12-year deal with Fox Sports. That was worth about $1 billion. That began in 2015. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. After a 2.5% sell-off Friday, what's next for investors? We'll speak with Jim Paulson of Bluefold Wheaton Capital just ahead. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are little change. Now futures are mixed as investors weigh scattered signs of economic improvement against the accelerating virus spread in the U.S., Brazil, and India. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4.5 points, Dow futures up 85, NASDAQ futures down 26, the DAX in Germany's up 0.4%, 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.64%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.16%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 7 cents at $38.43 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, President Trump says he was never briefed about Russia putting a bounty on U.S. troops in Afghanistan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calling for more information from Congress now. Coronavirus cases have surpassed 10 million worldwide. Texas now becoming the new epicenter of the virus in the United States. Militants have attacked the stock exchange in the Pakistani city of Karachi, killing at least 2 security guards and a policeman. Special police forces deployed to the scene of the attack and in a swift operation secured the building, killing all 4 gunmen. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Amy, S&P futures, they've been fluctuating after Friday's 2.5% sell-off in the U.S. markets. Let's bring in our next guest this morning, Jim Paulson of Bluefold Wheaton Capital. Jim, what's on the radar screen for you this morning?
Well, John, I think it's going to be the for everybody this week, is can the market find a bottom here, or do we have more to go with this correction? We're certainly fighting with the S&P 500 around that 3,000 area. I believe that's around the 200-day moving average. So there'll be a lot of people technically watching some of those levels and seeing if we have to break lower yet to find a bottom, or if we're going to turn. You know, I think the other thing I'm watching is the virus has been attributed for the decline here. But, you know, what's kind of interesting to me, if you look nationally, the rise in cases, they are rising, but much, much slower on a percentage basis than they did, for example, when the virus first hit. I mean, we're having an uptick in national cases, most of it probably due to testing, but it's much, much more mild compared to earlier. And deaths continue to trend lower overall. And I think if that continues, we're going to have markets kind of settle down about this.
And add to the mix the Federal Reserve balance sheet, the expansion of the balance sheet. Is that going to be firmly in the driver's seat for investors?
Well, and it's not just don't fight the Fed, John. It's really don't fight the Fed, don't fight the Treasury, don't fight the bond vigilante. There's massive easing and support coming across the board, and it's also coming across the globe like never before. You know, I continue to like the combination of a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of caution, which shows up in things like almost record high mutual fund, money market mutual fund balances overall. And you combine that fear and caution with massive policy support, you know, I still think this isn't a bad deal in here if people want to make some commitments to stocks right now.
Well, give me an idea where you think the averages are headed at this point.
Well, in the short term, I really don't know where the bottom of this is. You know, we're in a corrective phase. It's probably a healthy development, consolidating after some of the big gains we've had already in this rally. I'm going to let the market figure that out. But when, you know, if I look ahead 6 to 12 months, I think that there's a fair amount of upside here. And I think it is because I think we've started a new recovery. I think we're going to get more confirmation of that later this week when we get another job gain in the monthly job number, second job gain in a row. And if we're at the front end of a new recovery, we're probably at the front end of the new bull market. And we're probably early in this. So I think there's now more upside than there is downside in the stock market.
And in terms of sectors, any favorites for you? Or is it just all in?
Well, I've kind of adopted kind of a barbell approach. We're going to stick with continued overweight and new era stocks, some of those that have the sustainable growth characteristics, a lot of it independent of what the economy is doing, a lot of that technology, communications, but others as well. But I would start to add, like when we're down a little bit, like when we've had these corrections, I'd start to add more cyclical areas, financial stocks in here, the material stocks. I'd look internationally and add some international exposure overall. And I'd try to lower my market capitalization weighting and look at some small cap in here. The one area that I'd really underweight is more of the defensive sectors, the traditional defensive low-vol investing, utilities, consumer staples, some of the REIT space or some pharma, those things I would tend to underweight. But I barbell between growth and cyclicality or broader market plays.
I don't know how many times I've counted head fakes by value stocks, but is that something to avoid?
Yeah, there's been a lot of those. And I guess rather than think of it in terms of growth value, I'm thinking it more in terms of just growth, but also then having broader market plays and focus less on value stocks as I would in cyclical sectors, smaller caps, and maybe some international exposure. You're going to pick up some value in there overall. And I do think we're going to have some GDP quarters coming up here that probably are double-digit to the positive side, 10 to 20% quarterly gains in GDP. That should help value stocks overall. One of the problems they've had is such weak growth. If we get a couple quarters of double-digit GDP gains, I think value stocks might do pretty well.
Jim, we'll leave it there. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Jim Paulson of Leuthold Wieden Capital. And as we look to markets right now, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures are mixed. The Dow futures right now up 87 points. That's a rise of 0.4%. S&P E-mini futures after Friday's almost 2.5% sell-off. Right now up 5 points. That's up 0.2%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures right now down 21 points. That's a decline of 0.2%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing a mixed picture in the equities markets as we begin a holiday-shortened trading week. This is we get some sobering statistics on the coronavirus. Cases have topped 10 million, with deaths surging past 500,000. Tom Frieden, a former director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, spoke to Fox News Sunday.
This is going to backfire. We're moving too fast. If you open when cases are still increasing, as many states did, it's like leaning into a left hook. You're going to get hit hard, and that's what's happening. When we see Arizona, Texas, Florida, South Carolina, they are currently in a rapid upswing. And sad to say, this is going to continue to get worse for weeks.
Fox News Sunday can be heard on Bloomberg Radio on Sundays.
And shares of Facebook down another 2.5% after dropping more than 8% on Friday. Starbucks has joined Levi Strauss, PepsiCo, and Diageo, curtailing ad spending. Critics accuse platforms such as Facebook of failing to control hateful and misleading content.
U.S. aviation regulators have approved a critical set of test flights on the Boeing 737 MAX to begin as soon as today after reviewing the manufacturer's safety assessment of the multiple fixes devised for the plane. The stock is up 3.5%.
The focus is on jobs in this week's U.S. economic agenda. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Economists say payrolls probably increased by a record 3 million in June, topping April's gain at 2.5 million. Welcome relief for America's virus-racked economy. But millions more, roughly 20 million more, are collecting unemployment, and Federal Reserve officials say unemployment will remain high into next year, perhaps longer. Underscoring that, economists are forecasting weekly jobless claims will show another 1 million workers filed for assistance. Also on this week's data calendar, consumer confidence, ISM factory data, and Fed minutes. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Chesapeake Energy has become one of the biggest victims of the spectacular collapse in energy demand. The Oklahoma City-based shale gas company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Chesapeake also agreed to eliminate about $7 billion in debt, plus it will secure about $925 million in debtor-in-possession financing. And futures this morning, S&P futures are higher, up 5 points, Dow futures up 85, NASDAQ futures lower, down 23, 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, the yield 0.64%, the yield on the 2-year 0.16%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 10 cents at $38.57 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
Good morning, John. President Trump has tweeted that he wasn't briefed by intelligence officials about that report that Russia had offered to pay the Taliban to kill U.S. troops in Afghanistan. He says the information wasn't credible, so he wasn't told about it. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she wants a full report to Congress, and Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says it is imperative Congress get to the bottom of those allegations. More than 10 million people worldwide have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. But in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo tells NBC's Meet the Press his state is reporting the fewest number of COVID-19 deaths since mid-March.
We offer thoughts and prayers to every death in our state, but 5 deaths is the lowest number we have had since this started.
The number of new cases in New Jersey still falling while the death rate has ticked up. Governor Phil Murphy made that announcement on Twitter as New Jersey continues to move forward with Phase 2 reopening today. Motor Vehicle Commission offices are reopening. Shoppers are able to go into the malls. More steps are coming on Thursday when indoor dining can resume and casinos in Atlantic City welcome back gamblers. In New York City, churches reopened their doors over the weekend and the faithful turned out.
The church was closed, but my heart never closed.
This as alternative side street parking drops to just once a week. This will be the seventh day in a row protesters are living in a tent encampment outside City Hall in New York City. They're demanding $1 billion be cut from the NYPD's $6 billion budget by July 1st. Hawk Newsom is chair of the New York chapter of Black Lives Matter and tells Fox News Sunday they need to get to the root of the problem.
We should really look and see why police are being called. Look at the causes of why people are committing crime. They're desperate, they're poor, they're undereducated, and they are left out to dry by this American system.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill will take up police reform efforts later this week. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Amy, thanks. Coming up on 636 on Wall Street, and it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The Patriots assigned a one-time NFL MVP to perhaps be their new quarterback. Cam Newton, not the player he was back in 2015 when he led Carolina to a 15-1 season in the Super Bowl. He's had injuries to his foot and shoulder, only played two games last season, and the Panthers released him. But without Tom Brady, the Pats had only the veteran Brian Hoyer and the unproven Jarrett Stidham. So why not see what Newton's got left at age 31? It's a one-year contract, and even if incentives are met, he'll make $7.5 million, which is not a lot for a starting quarterback. The Patriots, meanwhile, have been hit with an NFL discipline yet again. There was Spygate and Deflategate, and now that incident, similar to Spygate, that team-owned TV crews were caught filming the sideline of a game last December between the Browns and Bengals. Spygate was filming other teams' signals, but the NFL did not approve. It has fined the team $1.1 million and taken away a third-round draft pick. Travelers Golf near Hartford, won by Dustin Johnson.
Very exciting to get my 21st win and then, you know, get my first win of the season. I put in a lot of good work the last couple weeks, so it's nice to see the game to start coming around. It was definitely strange playing with no fans, but you still could feel the pressure. You still could feel, you know, how important the golf tournament is.
Meanwhile, another golfer tested positive for COVID, Dylan Fratelli, who had missed the cut. That's now four PGA Tour players with the virus. The latest NBA player to decide not to be part of the restart, Wilson Chandler of the Nets. He cites not wanting to leave his family. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The key to protecting nursing homes is keeping COVID-19 in check. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. What makes a nursing home vulnerable to a COVID-19 outbreak? Several studies have found that location in a community with high incidence of the disease is the decisive factor. Keeping COVID out of nursing homes when it is spreading widely where employees live, shop, and commute is very hard to do. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo's since-reversed March decision to require that nursing homes accept recovering coronavirus patients has gotten a lot of the blame for the state's high death toll. But the share of coronavirus deaths occurring in nursing homes is actually lower in New York than in the rest of the country. The disease seems to have hit the state's nursing homes so hard, mainly because it was raging out of control all around them. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers could read more at OPIN Go. And we get earnings this week on Wall Street. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Traders and investors will be keeping a close eye on rising coronavirus cases amid efforts to reopen economies. We'll also be hearing from a number of Fed speakers, and there's a smattering of earnings reports. Christina Hooper is Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco Advisors.
Earnings reports will be the great reality check. I mean, it's
frankly, it has been easy to be unmoored from fundamentals because so many companies have decided not to provide earnings guidance this year.
Among the companies scheduled to report this week, Micron Technology, FedEx, ConAgra, General Mills, Constellation Brands, and Macy's. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And it is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
At a time when bipartisan support on any issue seems hard to come by, it's remarkable that two-thirds of Americans agree that the government should be doing more to combat climate change. The Pew Research Center found majorities of Republicans and Democrats favor five initiatives to reduce the impacts on the planet. The broadest support would be for a plan to plant a trillion trees. 90% of Americans could get behind such a project. It's something President Trump mentioned in his State of the Union address this year. Majorities of both parties would also support tax credits for carbon capture, tighter restrictions on power plant emissions, basing corporate taxes on carbon emissions, and tightening fuel efficiency standards for vehicles. But agreements only go so far. Americans are still split along party lines on the cause of climate change. More than two-thirds of Democrats blame human activity. Just 22% of Republicans share that view. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Other stories we're following. Militants have attacked the stock exchange in the Pakistani city of Karachi, killing at least two security guards and a policeman. Special police forces deployed at the scene secured the building, killing all four gunmen. A separatist militant group claimed responsibility for that attack. And the FDIC may scrap quarterly bank reports that have been a fixture of oversight for more than 150 years. Instead, the agency expected to kick off a competition to develop a new reporting prototype. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now, they are mixed. S&P E-mini futures after Friday's 2.5% sell-off, up just 1 point right now. The Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures down 33.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are little changed this morning. Futures are mixed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.64%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 12 cents at $38.61 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.60 at $17.83.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1281 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2330 and the yen 107.18. And today we are watching for a report on pending home sales out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she is asking for a report to Congress after news reports cited U.S. intelligence from months ago that a Russian military intelligence unit secretly offered bounties to Taliban-linked militants for killing American troops in Afghanistan. President Trump denies being briefed on that, saying that the reports are not credible. Some sobering statistics on the coronavirus. There are now more than 10 million new cases worldwide, with deaths surging past 500,000. And Mississippi legislators have taken historic votes to remove a Confederate battle emblem from their state flag. Voters will have a chance to approve a new design in the November 3rd election. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. John.
Amy, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:49 on Wall Street. And it's time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital. President Trump dismissing virus, polls, and recession to tell a winning story. The president also deleting a tweet of a video with a fan. And U.S.-China, the feud gets nasty with red tape, now as a stealth weapon. And as Amy just reported, the president saying that report on the Russian-Afghanistan bounties isn't credible. And let's dig deeper into these stories now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning to you. Let's start off with the story about the president dismissing the virus, the polls, and the recession. What is ahead of the election, the narrative that the president is trying to construct?
Well, it's definitely a far rosier picture than what a lot of people would perceive as the reality on the ground. You know, the president is kind of downplaying the idea that, you know, there's the second wave or in some places first wave of the virus in the U.S. And, you know, focusing on other things. He's also downplaying the nationwide protests over police brutality. I think that, you know, and, you know, he talks about the polls as being inaccurate. So I think that, you know, perhaps that may resonate with some of his supporters. But I think that, you know, what the risk there for him is that for independent voters and for a lot of Americans, that what they're hearing the president talk about doesn't necessarily comport with what they're experiencing as their reality.
Is he getting much guidance from fellow Republicans on what the narrative should be?
Well, I think an interesting dynamic to watch there is some of the Republican governors who, you know, especially early on, Trump had a lot of support among Republican governors for his push to reopen, you know, the U.S. economy and get kind of some of the lockdown measures lifted so that people can go out and spend money and the economic recovery that Trump talks about can really begin. And I think that what we're seeing now in states like Texas and Florida, both of which have Republican governors and also surging coronavirus cases, is a break between the president and the heads of the chief executives of the states, because the governors are of those states in particular have moved to reimpose some of the lockdown measures that had been lifted. And I think that that is a bit getting a bit crosswise of Trump. So that's a dynamic to watch there, is both on that issue of the reopening and then the other issue being face masks, which is one in which we've already seen a number of Republican senators break with the president. You know, the president has basically refused to wear a face mask in public, and Republican senators are doing the opposite, holding press conferences wearing these masks. So I think those are two sort of dynamics to watch and areas in which we're seeing a break between the president and his fellow Republicans.
Tell us more about this tweet that the president then deleted.
Yeah, so there was this protest in Florida over the weekend, and it was, you know, basically dueling protests, you know, Trump supporters and Trump opponents. And basically what Trump did is he retweeted a video showing the protest, and particularly, you know, some of the pro-Trump protesters, and essentially called, you know, said these were good people and thanked the people in the video for their support. And when you watch the video, you see that one of the protesters that's featured pretty prominently actually yells white power at one point during the video. And so, you know, sort of later in the day, Trump actually deleted that video or deleted that retweet. And I think, you know, it was read as a recognition that that might be a step too far.
Let's move on to this report on Russia-Afghanistan bounties. The president says it is incredible. We heard Amy doing the details of the story a little earlier. I'm just curious what the reaction is among lawmakers.
Well, you know, we know that particularly, and I think not surprisingly, from Democrats at least on Capitol Hill, we're hearing, you know, a request for more information about what exactly went on. You know, lawmakers are saying that they weren't briefed on this intelligence information regarding the bounties. And so I think the dynamic to watch there is whether this call from Democrats spreads to being a call from Republicans, particularly in the Senate where Republicans are in control.
And the trade war appears to have entered a new front. The story that we have here, U.S.-China feud gets nasty with red tape. It's being used as a stealth weapon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, we've obviously seen, you know, a lot of back and forth between the U.S. and China in recent weeks and really spreading out from the trade realm into other realms as well. And what we talk about in the story is how, you know, regulatory measures are increasingly being used on both sides to try to, you know, deal with some of the, you know, as an expression of some of the acrimony between the U.S. and China in areas like, you know, agriculture or travel. Even we've seen the U.S. ban some flights. And so that is something I think that, you know, in terms of the tools that might be in use in the coming weeks and months, especially ahead of the election, mm-hmm. That would be something to watch for sure.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right. right, John, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, providing industry partners with commercially focused research and innovation services through its New Jersey Innovation Institute. Learn more at njii.com. Now let's see what's happening in science, technology, engineering, and math. A growing list of Facebook advertisers is set to halt spending on social media. Starbucks, Levi Strauss, PepsiCo, and Diageo were among the most recent companies to say they're curtailing ad spending. It's part of an exodus aimed at pushing Facebook and its peers to suppress posts that glorify violence, divide and disinform the public, and promote racism and discrimination. Tencent Holdings is rolling out a live streaming service similar to Amazon.com's Twitch in the U.S. China's largest company has been quietly testing a mobile-focused streaming network via an affiliate in the U.S. since at least March. Beyond Tencent's own portfolio of popular games like Fortnite and PUBG Mobile, the service also spotlights marquee titles like Grand Theft Auto and Destiny 2. With bankers stuck at home and deal-making mostly on ice, unabated demand for renewable power assets has made the sector a rare hotspot for acquisition activity in Europe this year. The value of acquisitions of alternative energy assets in Europe is up 64% this year, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. This compares with a 15% fall across all deal-making in the region. And that's today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Well, New York City is on track to start the third phase of reopening July 6th. And for Alfred Catelli, it's going to be nice to see some old faces. He owns and operates Central Market New York. This is a quick service restaurant catering to commuters at the Staten Island Ferry Terminal and Grand Central Station. Alfred, joins us this morning. Now that you're back up and running, are the commuters you depend on, are they slowly coming back?
I mean, it is picking up. I see an increase in travelers. I've been taking the train throughout the pandemic into the city, and I have noticed a rather large increase of commuters coming into Grand Central lately.
At this point, what do you have to do with your small businesses to ensure the safety of your customers, your staff, and comply with all the regulations?
The number one thing we did when we started to reopen was to install these plexiglass barriers to ensure the safety for everybody. It's been uneventful, and everybody accepts it.
Are you satisfied that the revenue for your businesses will pick up or resume where they left off before the pandemic?
I think it's going to take some time. I've seen companies discussing coming back for phase three, and also other organizations that I've spoken to where they're looking to come back after Labor Day. And then there are some companies that are putting staffing back into their offices to January. But, you know, we're pretty confident that the people are going to come back there. New York, we're survivors. You've seen it through every disaster that's occurred in New York City, and we're going to live through this one as well.
Alfred, thanks a lot. Alfred Catelli of Central Market New York, and that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Right now, Dow futures up 100, NASDAQ futures down 15. For Karen Moscow, I'm John Tucker. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead.